familiar with. It's called polo. And I know polo because my kids always played football. We were over there all the time, and they were over with us. But there's this intersection that I stopped to turn. And I got to that intersection and looked forward, and I saw a building that I had seen for several years. For several years, there's been two banners, huge banners, proclaiming Trump crap, whatever it was, for years. I got to that intersection today, and those banners are gone.
Right now, right? You know how many frogs are going to be at Bill King's protest?
because they went to college. Two of my sons, one went to college and was at Northwest, and he played football for 5 years and got his head beaten in all those years to walk out with student loans still to be a teacher. To be a teacher. And he quit being a teacher last May. He's now working construction because he makes more money. My other son carried a gun for the U.S. Army so that he could get through college. And when I see those National Guards people being sent to these places, I think of my son. I think of my good and well-behaved and sweet and kind and liberal son when I look at all of these kids, right? They didn't ask for this. You know where a lot of the National Guard comes from? Rules faces, because there's not a lot of other things they can do. You know where else the National Guard comes from? Poor populations, because they use these kids to be able to do what they want to do. Now, I'm a patriot. My dad was a military veteran, my grandpa, my uncles, everybody else. But the point of the matter is we know who is working in the National Guard, and he does too, and he knows what he's doing to our kids and our neighbors' kids. I speak about rule issues a lot because there's something that the DNC needs to know that they won't talk about. There was a study by the New Hampshire University, and they said this. If 3% more rural people would have showed up in 24 and voted for Kamala Harris, you guys would be going to brunch next Saturday instead of standing in a plaza with a sign. 3%. That is the lowest hanging fruit. And what do we do as Democrats? We decided that rural people weren't worth it, that small town folks weren't worth it, that we could win elections with cities and suburbs. Well, I ask you, friends, how'd that turn out? We turned our back on rural people. And I have people that will look me straight in the face and tell me, you get what you vote for. Who do I have to vote for? What are you talking about? I pulled a Democratic ballot last August, and I had about 4 or 5 things on there to vote for. My husband went with me. Now, he comes with his list because I know what to tell him how to vote for. But he said, why is our ballot so short? Why was everybody else in there so long? And I said, because you didn't get to vote for state rep. You didn't get to vote for any county office. So spare me when people say you get what you vote for. I can't vote my self-interest if I want to. The thing we need to do is contest every race. The thing we need to do is make sure that there is someone on every single ballot, that everyone has a chance to vote in their self-interest. And we've forgotten that. We've lost the plot all this time. I ran, and if you've heard me speak before, you've heard this story, that I think it's really important to understand why someone like me would run. I was a rural teacher. I taught 16 years. I had no plan to run for office. God, who in the world would want to run for office? But in 2018, we passed an abortion ban, and I was angry. And my state representative was Alan Andrews, and he signed it. So I called him. Nothing. And I emailed him, and I texted him, because I had his personal number, because I know him. Nothing. I started posting about him. Nothing. I opened up the Maryville Forum one day, and I looked and saw that Alan Andrews had written into the paper about how happy he was to sign away the rights of every single woman in this state, no matter if it was for rape or incest or the life of the mother. He didn't care. So I decided to do something not very smart. I wrote my rebuttal to Alan Andrews in the Maryville Forum, and it went as well as you can imagine. As a small town teacher, but I did it anyway, hoping that I would hear from Alan. Nothing. So a couple weeks later, it had been probably a month since he had done that, and I tried to contact him. My husband wasn't sitting next to me, and I said, I need you to call Alan Andrews. And he did. And Alan called him 20 minutes later. And my husband answered, he said, it's Alan. I said, you tell him to call me. And he did. And I saw red. I don't remember what I told him, but he told me 2 things I will never forget, and I hope you never forget either. Jess, I don't have to talk to you, and I called you out of a favor to your husband. And I think I passed out. I don't remember what I said after that. But all these years later, I have realized Alan was telling me the truth. He did not have to talk to me because he ran out of post. He didn't have to talk to my Republican neighbor because he ran out. Wanted, and he went down to Jeff City and did the bidding of his donors. That's all he did. That's all he did for 8 years. But I still didn't run against him in 2018 because Missouri has this great law about not being able to run for office while being a teacher. We're one of four states. So I didn't run. I need to work. I'm not wealthy. But in 2020, I went to vote for Joe Biden, and I looked down ballot, and I didn't have anyone to vote for. And I thought, that's it. That's enough. So I went home, and I told my husband, I said, if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I did. Yeah. And I got my butt kicked. I mean, kicked hard. Here's the thing you ought to know about my district, which is House District 1. We have never elected a woman. We haven't elected a Democrat in 32 years. So when I decided to run, and I called the state Democrats, I said, well, maybe I'll run for something else. I said, I don't think so. Nobody's running for this. Do you know how much money I got from the state party when I decided to run? You know what? I raised $275,000 on my own. We had a different party chair now, but the party chair told me at the time, right before the end of the election, you can't win. Can you forward that money to the Democrats? No. No, I cannot. That's a problem. That's a problem when we're not supporting the people who are sticking their necks out. In your part of the world, if someone is going to run, they're likely to lose their job. They're likely to lose their family and their friends. To ask people to run and not fund them is immoral. We should not do that. You ask someone to run and you don't have the funds to help them, then you knock a door. You make calls. You post. You do whatever you can do because it is immoral not to help these people. I didn't get fired myself. I was working in Maryville. I went down, this was in 2020. I went to protest in Kansas City because we didn't have any mitigations for COVID. I ended up on the news, KMBA or whatever, KMBC. My superintendent saw it. Now, I was tenured. My husband was not. They fired him 2 days later. That's what we're asking people to do, is to go through this. And it shouldn't be like this. We're running for office. It shouldn't be like this. But in this political climate, it is. And that's why I say you have to find candidates, and then not only that, you have to help them. But what happened when I ran, and I didn't win, didn't even come close to winning, that man that I was running against had to stay home. The Republicans had to raise $100,000 and drop it in a race in Northwest Missouri, and they had to drop $20 in a race up there in decades. He had to knock doors. He had to make calls. He had to show up to debates and forums with me. We had one in the Farm Bureau. I was ready. I mean, I can speak. I was an English teacher for a long time. They gave us 90 seconds. I had it down pat, 90 seconds. Got up, did my 90 seconds, sat down. He stood up and he said, well, I agree with Jess. And then he sat back down and he kicked my butt. Because you know what he had that I didn't have? An R behind his name, right? Well, he has other things I don't have, but a bar behind his name. When I was knocking doors, I heard this a lot. The first time I heard it, it almost knocked me down. By the 20th or 30th time, I was kind of used to it. I would knock on a door. The person behind the door would want the same things I do. Funded roads, funded schools, making sure our hospitals stay open, making sure we have a library close. You know, easy things. They'd say, are you a Republican or a Democrat? I'd say, I'm a Democrat. They say, I can't vote for you because I'm a Christian. Like I said, the first time I was like, what do you want to have? Like a Bible verse contest? I was born and raised a Southern Baptist. I don't know what you're saying. But you know why this happens, right? It happens because there are people who hear three times a week that they can't vote for Democrats because they're a Christian. Because Republicans don't have to get out in areas like mine because the churches are doing it for them. They're doing the campaigning behind the pulpits. And that's not Christianity. And that's not what I grew up with. And I don't even recognize some of the people that I went to church with. That's something called Christian nationalism. And it is not representative of Christians. It is not representative of their Christ. It is everything he would have stood against. They claim to be pro-life. Really? Are you feeding kids? Are you making sure they're housed? Do you make sure they can go to the doctor when they need to? Can they eat at school? Do they have a school that's open 5 days a week? Do their parents have a people are not pro-life. And I would tell them every time to their face, that is Christian nationalism.
Years.
worth of work. 5 days, 40 hours. And they said, that's too much. That's a bridge too far. And so now we have people that have eight-year-olds watching infants because they can't stay home when they need to. Because we have people bringing COVID to work and pneumonia to work and all kinds of illnesses because they can't stay home or they will lose their job. And that's what happened, because we have a legislature that doesn't listen to us. I'm going to tell you another story, and this one's a little brighter. Are you guys, is Sam Graves your congressman? Some of you? Okay, a few of you. Who's yours, Mark?
Yeah.
Even worse. All right. Man, I don't know how you guys control yourselves at those meetings. Good Lord, he's the most condescending jerk I have ever seen in my life. But anyway, my guy, Sam Graves, I've had him for, he's been our congressman for since 2001. He's been on the ballot in Missouri since 1992, since before I graduated high school. He's been on the ballot. I've never seen him, not for lack of trying. I've never seen him. He sends canned responses, and that's it. He hasn't had a town hall since 2012. I wrote about this story, but I was in a junior high game in Fairfax, Missouri the other day, and I looked down, it's Sam Graves. And I was like, oh, it's like, where's Waldo? I found him. He's right there. I couldn't believe my eyes. But the funny thing about Sam being there at that game, he's 6 miles from his hometown, Tarpeo. He's in his hometown, basically. He's with his home crew. The stands are filled with farmers, people who know him. He stood at the bottom of those football stands and he looked for a friendly face. And he looked some more. And no one said, hey, Sam, come up here and sit next to me. No one said, come on, I got something next to me. Nobody. Because that is how unpopular Sam Graves is in his own hometown. They keep electing him. Can't explain that part. But he is unpopular. There were soybean farmers all in throughout that, and they know. Everyone knows. I saw today that Trump said that we don't have inflation anymore. Like, that's cool. You can say whatever you want, but you know what people can't deny? Their grocery bill, their receipt. You can tell people whatever you want, but every single one of us is smart enough to look at it and say, you're lying to me. Straight to my face, you're lying to me. And that's what they're doing. And they're using propaganda. Do you know when you go into an airport right now that Kristi Noem is telling people that the airport is being shut down by Democrats? Do you know that I got an email from a woman whose husband worked for the Department of Education? He was furloughed, and they changed his outgoing mail to say he wasn't in the office because Democrats cut the funding and shut down the government? They're lying, but people are noticing. There's a lot of people on the left, and you might be surprised by this, who don't really like rule people, even if we are Democrats. You know why? Because they say we have outsized power. It's true. And you know what that means? That you want to be competing here. If we have outsized power, why are you not having candidates here? Do you know that Wyoming has as many senators as California? You know Montana has the same amount of senators as New York? Why have we decided that these places can be seated and we can walk away from them? Why have they decided that Marshall, Missouri doesn't need any representation? Why are we doing the things we're doing? We shouldn't be. We should know better. No seat uncontested. I'm going to read something to you that every one of you will recognize. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of press or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. What's that? It's the First Amendment. That's your First Amendment. They talked nonstop about the Second Amendment, but what's the one they knew they were going to dismantle? That's the first. There are teachers that were fired in the state for not grieving a podcaster well enough. They were fired. There were people who were disciplined for not grieving a podcaster. We're living in scary times. We know it, and you know it too. I was an English teacher. I taught these books. 1984, Fahrenheit 451, Animal Farm, A Brave New World, The Handmaid. parable of the sower, the Hunger Games. I know what I'm seeing, and so do you. They want you to be quiet because it's scary. I want you to be louder, louder. And they are doing it masked, and they are doing it without badges and without warrants. And they are taking people on the street and spraying them in the face with mace and pepper spray. And they see men in collars who represent the church, and they hit them in the head with rubber bullets because they don't care, because they think they will not face any consequences. But I know enough about this to know they will face consequences. We know what happened in Germany to those people who did what they did to their friends and their neighbors, and the same thing will happen here. I have every hope in the world they will be held accountable for what they're doing. Use your privilege. If you look like me, if your skin color looks like mine, use your privilege. Stand in front of whatever you see is going on. Throw sand in the gears for the people who cannot have the same privilege. If you go to jail, you go to jail. Do whatever you need to do to stop the machine. Do not be a cog in the machine. Stand up and stop it for your neighbor. The Republicans stand for nothing. They are boot-licking sycophants doing the will of their orange god and their handler. And their handler is actually Vladimir Putin. These Republicans say that they protect children. They have stood on this the whole time. They're pro-life and they protect children, and they elected a pedophile. You remember that. The GOP is dead. They've been replaced by the oligarchy. We are not right versus left anymore because the right has collapsed into oligarchy. We are top versus down. We are having those people that are at the top put enough pressure on us to push us down. So we have to remember, the GOP is no more. And you know this because you listen to them. You hear their words. They don't stand for anything anymore. They want this chilling effect of free expression. They want you to self-censor yourself. Don't do it. They want to create fear. Use your social media. Use your knitting group, your book group, your bowling group, whatever it is. Point at these oligarchs. Point at these politicians and laugh at them. Why did they go after Jimmy Kimmel? Because they can't stand to be laughed at. Why did they go after teachers? Because you're teaching the students what they need to know to exist in a democracy. Laugh at them every chance you get. Show up in a frog costume if you need to. They want you to be conservative in rural spaces. I've had people tell me over and over again, you need to be more conservative to win out there, and that is not true. That is not true. Be bold. Swing left. Talk about abortion access. Talk about funded schools. Talk about making sure that people have a living wage and access to health insurance. You may hear the same things that I hear. People say, if you don't like it, leave. It's your state too. You stay. You fight. This is your state. I'm going to leave you with a little story in 2024 after the election. This is what I do for a living. It's not what I meant to do for a living, but it's what I do for a living. I'm an activist, and I didn't know what to do with myself after Trump won. So I told my husband, I was like, I can't, I'm not leaving the country. I have kids and grandkids here, but I'd like to get to a blue state. So I put some money into my pocket, and I went up to Minnesota. God love Tim Walz, right? I want to be up there. They have nature and its beauty. There's this little town called Ely. It's right on the boundary waters. I mean, if the shit hits the fan, I could canoe to Canada. I mean, there was a lot of good things about it. But on my drive there, I saw Trump banners on barns. And I went into a little, it was a liquor store, and they were selling Trump shirts. And when I turned on the radio, they were talking about what Elon Musk was going to do for the country. And right then and there, I realized there's nowhere to run. And there's no reason to run. We can't run. We have to do the hard work. And you're doing the hard work because you are in a rural space where you are the minority. But you're actually not the minority. Your friends and neighbors just don't know that you want what's best for them. That you don't have to be injured personally to vote in their best interest. And that's what I've learned from a lot of Trump voters. And they are flipping. And then they come and talk to me and I ask them one thing. What changed your mind? You know what it was every time? They felt the pain themselves. They felt the pain themselves. And they're all going to start feeling the pain. And this is what I want you to know. Do I love what they did? No. Will I hug them and bring them into the fold? Yes. We have to move forward together, and that's what we're going to do. So the thing I want you to do is have hope, show up in the streets, link arms, stand up, draw a line in the sand, and you tell Republicans, no more. Thank you, friends.